You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Woo, 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 woo. All right. So, John, I'm going to start with you. Was the ending of Saturday night's Laker game your opening exhibit in your case to get rid of replay in NBA basketball?
I rarely do this, but I'm going to punt because it's the whole start of our show.
Okay, fair enough.
Literally, I have like sound prepared. I have a whole argument.
So I'm watching the game on Saturday night, and you can sit this out for this if you'd like. But
yeah.
And I'm watching the whole thing. It took 22 minutes of clock time to play 2 minutes of basketball time.
Yep.
And all I'm thinking about is you and Michael. Because as I'm watching...
If you would have been listening, we would not have disappointed you.
I couldn't believe that how long it took. And I get it.
The shot clock, forget about it, because that's something that they can't control.
My first year of covering the NBA was 1996. I've never seen anything like it. Ever.
That long.
Ever.
It almost became it was like a joke after a while. Every time LeBron, they inbound the ball.
Wasn't like a joke.
Well, it was this is a how joke. Bad it was. And I'm sure you'll bring this up. Mike Breen on the game was even saying, this is ridiculous.
You'll hear that.
Yeah.
It was just awful.
Well, I mean, there was weird timing going on because you had whatever was going on with LeBron's three, which Darvin Ham made it sound like because he was asked in so many words, like,
Did you know they could review it?
Like, did your asking of, you know, the challenge on that play involving Draymond Green and Austin Reeves where Draymond tried to get the ball off Austin, but he traveled, did that challenge allow for the opportunity to review this LeBron 3 that got wiped off? And he said no. Like, basically that this is stuff that gets reviewed in New York, and I think the timing of it was just very weird. But I wonder how much of the delay, I mean, not counting the stuff with the shot clock and all that, but how much of the delay was them actually having to wait around for something from Secaucus as opposed to just...
Does it matter?
Yeah, because I think Secaucus makes the final call.
No, I know they do, but regardless of the procedures in place.
I'm not saying to justify it. I'm saying just in terms of this culmination of bizarre things coming together to lead to the world's longest delay in NBA history.
All right, so I'll leave that there for you guys.
Just a quick, simple solution to all this, and we've said it before, just like you have in anything you do, everything has a clock.
Yeah.
Just put a clock on. 60 seconds goes by. Whatever happens after the 60 seconds, run with it.
Okay, if we're going to get...
Everything has a clock.
Put
a clock on it.
If it's 60 seconds, though, that's too long, because the idea is to fix obvious mistakes.
Okay, 30 seconds.
Right? 10, 15.
Mm-hmm.
He's clearly out of bounds. Move on. If not, it's like, we called it, we're going to keep it moving.
But 60 seconds sounds like three seconds compared to the 30 minutes that they're spending.
That's for sure. Did you guys see the highlights? I guess they're highlights of the Dodgers playing those Korean teams.
I saw the girls. Yeah. I saw the Danson girls.
Those are the highlights. Mm-hmm. That the actual baseball itself, I don't even know if they actually played because nobody showed any of the highlights. But the woman who threw out the first pitch, the women dancing on the dugout, the drums playing. All I know is that Korea was not on my list of places to go, like at the top.
And it is now.
It got very near the top after seeing that. That's what baseball should have
more
of.
Well, remember during the beginning of the pandemic when sports were basically all
KBO is like the first thing back.
Right.
And that's right.
Everyone started tuning into Korean baseball for the first time because this was the only sport going on, and now you had an actual reason to be seeking out overseas baseball. One of the first things people said was, this league is incredibly entertaining. Like,
right.
They do it more with the idea of pure showmanship than we do in America.
I made this argument Friday, not to any of you three. I want to see if I can convert any of you. I think this idea to go play two regular season games in Korea is the worst idea ever. I've been to China with the Lakers for two preseason games. Went to Beijing, went to Shanghai. It was great. And at some point, these leagues got together and decided NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, that it would be a good idea to play regular season games halfway across the world. It's a terrible idea. It's a competitive disadvantage to the Dodgers and the Padres, who have to – I travel and have traveled with a basketball team for 20-plus years. Travel takes a toll on you.
Sure.
And those overseas trips, like the ones to China and Korea, take a toll on you. When the Dodgers went to Australia several years ago, Clayton Kershaw had to sit on a plane for 11 hours. For 2-3 years, his back was messed up. What are we doing? I understand Mason argues that they want to grow the game.
Right.
They want to grow the game internationally. You can do that with preseason games. What the F are we doing?
But isn't that essentially what these are, John? I know that they're official
they count.
Games. No, I know they
count.
Do.
But the
I know
fact that it's a week
they give
early.
Them a week to get over there. They basically give them a week to come back, to reacclimate to the American time clock and everything else. I'm with you that they count is goofy, but it's only two. And it's not like they do it in the middle of the season where they're over there and back in a 4 or 5 day window.
Trav, I did 6 cities. In 9 days at the end of January.
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't recovered.
Yeah.
All right. It's not fair.
But
it's
when
not...
would you send them? If it was an exhibit, when, like the very beginning of spring training, at the end of the season, when do you send them if you're not going to send them now?
The team's got to ramp up.
Yeah.
But I would send them right at the, let everybody ramp up. I'd send them right at the beginning of spring training.
John, here's why I think it's okay. It's okay because don't send the Dodgers and the Padres next year. Now go rotate two different teams. And the point I'm saying is that you can grow the game. Regular season games obviously are much more meaningful. Just don't send the Dodgers and the Padres again next year. Make it the Yankees and the Red Sox. And then the following year, make it Seattle and
this. Why do you
want to
screw the Yankees and the Red Sox next year? Why do you want to screw Seattle in 2 years?
I think this is the best way that you can do it. The fact that they're doing it, like you just mentioned.
This is really the only place you can put it.
I mean, you did it early enough. Give them some time to come back. They get home games when they come back.
This is a blatant money grab.
Sure it is.
Of course it is. The sport itself is a money grab. This whole thing
everything
is
a money
grab. If 2 games in March screws up your internal clock for the rest of the season, the problem's you.
No, what I'm not suggesting it's going to screw up your clock for the rest of the season. I'm going to suggest that if they start 5-20, that has something to do with it.
If they start 5-20 because they played 2 games in
Dave
Korea
Roberts will
in
be
March,
working at that Waffle House that guy keeps calling about.
No, I'm not. I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying that travel with all the time in between those games in Korea and starting leads to a 5-20 start.
You know,
what are you talking about? All that time in between. They come back, they play the freeway series, and then the season starts up again. They get a weekend to catch up. That's enough time for you?
No, it's enough time by the time April rolls around, like the end of April, you've had enough time to catch up on that sleep.
Yeah, if you're going to do it, I think this is the only time you can do it because to your point, to ramp up, you want Dodgers and Padres to show up to spring training 3 weeks earlier than everybody else?
I'm just saying let them show up maybe a week earlier, and then their first 2 spring training games can be in Korea.
Yeah, that's kind of – they're just – other than they count, that's kind of what they're doing right now. They do – the Padres
plus,
and Dodgers did start earlier.
They want to showcase players who matter. If you bring spring training games over there, they're watching a bunch of guys who – may not even
they wouldn't even send
baseball.
Their guys.
Right, exactly.
You have the best experience by far because you travel all the time. We're all going to be sitting on our ass watching the game, and I know, so it's a lot easier for us. But I do think if you just rotate teams, just kind of, all right, let me make sure I don't put those teams back out there in a year.
And by the way, if you're sending teams halfway across the world for 2 games, that doesn't make any sense either.
Okay, so that's an interesting
play
idea. Like, if
set.
You're going to send them over for
a 4-week.
Week. Send
sure.
4 teams over, have them play for a week, kind of a round robin thing, and
start it earlier. If
and
you want to
start
back
it
in
earlier.
The day when Babe Ruth and everybody was playing, when the season ended, they would go on tours like this, right? That'd be okay too, but if I was a Dodger season ticket holder, I'd be pissed.
Yeah,
opening day for me is now at 2:30 in the morning. I got to get up at 2:30 to see Shohei Ohtani's first at bat as a Dodger. What are you doing?
It's only 3, John.
This
it's
is
not
John.
I thought it was 2. Doesn't first pitch at 2:30?
I think it's 3.
John, it's
pretty
such
sure it's 3.
And especially the Dodgers. I don't like the example of the Dodgers because this is also your opportunity to grow your global brand. You literally just brought
you can
Shohei.
You can do it in the offseason.
You can do it in the offseason, but think about how important this also is for the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers, granted this is Korea, I know it's not Japan, even though Korea, I'm sure, are going to fall in love with some of these Dodger players as well. I get what you're saying. I think ultimately at the end of the day, it's a no-brainer
to me
that they got to be
having a great time.
Things.
Chris Taylor and his Dodger teammates when they were watching that woman throw out the first pitch.
God
they
bless
seem to be
her.
Enjoying a good.
Maybe we'll bring some of those traditions over
yes,
here.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right, a quick one before we head out here. Taking as much as you can luck out of the equation.
Okay.
Just pure difficulty combined with skill. Is that shot Kyrie Irving hit yesterday the best buzzer beater you've ever seen, where just a left-handed side-armed hook shot from about 18 feet with Jokic defending?
Jeez. All right. Michael Thompson's going to be in here when we start the show. I just saw him. He just walked in.
Oh, there he is. Hi, Michael.
Michael said 4 years ago, with dead serious, he said, Kyrie Irving is the most skilled basketball player I have ever seen. And people mocked Michael for that. People said, oh, you're just prisoner of the moment. Because it was when the Warriors were playing the Cavs in the finals. And he said, nope. He said, if there was a one-on-one tournament with every player in the league, he would take Kyrie. And everybody made fun of him. And now everybody is saying what he said 4 years ago. Kyrie is a freak.
Have you ever seen a shot like that?
Well, I've seen him do that.
From there?
So here's the backstory on Kyrie. His father went and played basketball in Australia. His father was a good college player, went and played in Australia. Kyrie was born in Australia. And Kyrie grew up playing with kids that were much older and much taller than him. And so when you see him go into traffic, he's not scared. He has all these, he can contort his body. Yep. The fact that Jokic had his whole right side blocked, Kyrie's been shooting shots like that since he was a little kid. And the end result is he has a skill set that no one else has. No one has his quickness. No one has his handle. He's a great shooter. And because he's a freak and he's kind of a knucklehead and he says really weird stuff, people think that he can't possibly be the best player. He is. He's that skilled. And by the way, if he didn't have all that off the court stuff, he'd be considered like first team all NBA every year.
Oh yeah, well, and he'd have to play,
right?
That's something
he wouldn't get vaccinated, and then he takes his absence.
Crazy,
he's on
what,
his fourth team.
Things like that keep him away from basketball. That's also part of the reason people don't talk about him as the greatest player
right,
of all time.
Right,
like, you do have to be
just
on the court.
Fair
pure
enough.
Degree of difficulty of that shot from that distance.
I watched it live.
Know another player, Andy, who would take it.
No,
let alone make it.
I watched it live. That was insane.
I never saw. I covered Kobe's whole career. I never saw Kobe throw up a left-handed 15-footer to win a game.
No.
I watched
that. Kobe had more game winners than anybody.
My immediate reaction watching that was like speechless, because like, wait, what just happened?
It's what Luka did. You see Luka's reaction?
Yeah, Luka was in shock.
And Kyrie's the best at the basket of I could use my left or my right, kissing it off the glass, the whole thing.
Sure,
but you said,
but when we talk about finishing at the rim, I get it. With both hands and all, he contorted his body. He was nowhere near the rim. He was beyond the foul line. It was like an 18-footer.
Yeah, it was
crazy.
Unbelievable.
I tweeted out after that game, once I sort of got my bearings back and figured out what happened, only a madman would take a left-handed hook shot from the free throw line to win a game. Kyrie Irving, exactly.
Right. You know, that's totally accurate. Yeah. He's that good. He's just got the ability to do things and make shots that no one else even conceives.
John, I'm going to race down to my car. Give me a good 2 minutes to get there, because I want to hear about your end of game.
I've just had it. I've had it with replay. I've had it with the refs.
He's emptying the whole clip.
I was the whole time like, Ireland's going to lose his mind.
Michael and I already did.
Ireland's going to lose his mind. That's all I was going through my head. Super Crosstalks brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out, that's what a hamburger's all about.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bah! Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
All right, let's get this thing rolling because we got a lot of stuff doing. Let's get Michael in here. Michael Thompson's here today. Pepe will be in later. Michael's got the game. Saturday night, Michael and I did the Lakers-Warriors game. Like he often does, Clay went off for the Warriors. I refer to this as bad parenting. He single-handedly took the Lakers down in a must-win game.
He does love playing the Lakers, man. Clay loves going up against the Lakers.
That was the first good shooting game he had against the Lakers in a while.
Yeah, a couple of years. But that's not what anybody's talking about, Andy.
Oh, yeah.
What everybody's talking about is with a minute and 20 seconds to go in the game, maybe a little more, a couple minutes to go in the game, there was another video review. And Michael and I have said, for a couple of years now, that they need to just get rid of replay. It is slowing up to the game to the point where it's not worth the payoff. I understand everybody wants to get the call right, but it's not worth stopping the game, Michael, for 22 minutes.
Well, the shot clock malfunctions helped that too.
And right.
I didn't blame the referees for that. But what I blame them for with the shot clock was after the third failure, okay, Lawrence Tander, start counting down the seconds.
You brought it up after the first failure.
Yeah.
And they did forfeit. It got so bad. I want you to listen to Mike Breen, who's been the voice of ABC for the better part of 20 years. So this isn't just John and Michael beating the same dead horse that we've been beating for 2 years. Listen to Mike Breen.
All right. I've never seen anything like this in 30-plus years in the NBA. And I bet Steph Curry and LeBron James haven't either in all their times together. Lawrence Tanter's going to announce the time. There's not a better voice to announce the time.
I would take any voice at this point.
You'll take Pee Wee Herman doing it. Oh, my goodness gracious.
All right, we're the only sport in the world, and the NBA is the greatest. It really is. Mike and I are spoiled. We talk about it all the time. It's the greatest league in the world. But, guys, if we care more than they care, that's a problem. There was no urgency. David Guthrie, the lead guy, is standing at the video monitor with his arms folded like he's waiting for a waiter to order lunch. I mean, Michael thought of Lawrence Tanner can announce the shot clock 2 minutes into this 22-minute delay, and they just kept doing the same thing over and over and over. And I get it. It's a 25-year-old building, okay? It's going to have quirks. But the league provides the shot clock. Staples or Crypto.com Arena operates it. The league, so they had two of them. Neither one of them worked. And then they finally, after 22 minutes, figured out. And in the meantime, because they had so much downtime, they go back and say LeBron had his heel on the line. Peel back that three. So instead of a four-point game, it goes to a seven-point game. And then the Warriors had so much time to draw plays. The first three plays after the 22-minute delay, Kuminga had two dunks.
Yeah.
We're the only sport in the world that stops the game for 20 minutes like it's no big deal. Andy, you said you're going to New York next week. You're taking your family to go see Hamilton. Can you imagine at the end of Hamilton if they just say, you know, we didn't nail that scene just right. We're going to delay it for 22 minutes.
And rehearse it a few times.
Right. And Michael said
start,
I've been arguing for Michael to be the minister of common sense in the NBA. If I was Adam Silver, I would appoint Michael to this position tomorrow. You don't need replay.
Nope.
You don't need it. Michael played his whole career without it, and we were fine.
Yep.
If it gets to the point where it's doing more harm than good, get rid of it.
I don't think the problem is that replay is doing more harm than good. I think the problem is they're doing replay wrong. Like, there needs to be a limit for how long you can review stuff.
24 seconds.
Yeah, 24 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 whatever. Seconds. Like, there needs to be a strict limit.
If you can't figure it out, just call stands.
I think this would, to be fair to everything going on, and Michael pointed out, like, the shot clock thing is a separate issue from the replay.
Yeah, stuff
like,
breaks.
There was like a convergence of all this stuff happening at the exact same time. Like, the timing could not have been worse and more bizarre. I also wonder how much of this was the league separately reviewing LeBron's three, because that they're going to do that automatically, combined with this challenge from Darvin Ham that happened to come right around the same time. I wonder if there was confusion from the refs. Like, wait, what's going on? Like, how do we explain this? Like, it feels like all of the worst elements of replay and the system and the league offices, plus the malfunctions, they all converged at the absolute worst time. And then maybe, like, as far as, you know, why not just let Lawrence Tanner do that? They may have been feeling like, look, we've already had this delay with the replay. We've had this confusion. We don't want to look like idiots that can't fix a clock. And we're announcing, like, you know, sometimes when you try to fix something and you get so caught up in trying to fix it, you don't just call someone else to do it.
Right. You spend 48 hours trying to fix something that could be fixed in 20 minutes.
Right. I think there was a lot of bad things that all converged in the most bizarre way possible.
All right. Andy, since Mike and I are on the same side of this, let me throw you this. What if we came to you with a proposal? You're Adam Silver.
Sure.
And we come to you with a proposal and say, shut down replay until the last 3 minutes of the game. There is no replay until the last 3 minutes of the game. And then, if you can't, the call stands unless you can determine in 60 seconds that it doesn't. Would you live with that?
I would counter with, we have replay the whole game, but I will say 45 seconds or less.
My position on this stuff, and Michael, I think you're the same as me, anything that unnecessarily stops the game is stupid. Mm-hmm. Illegal defense is stupid. They don't have it internationally. They don't use it in the Olympics. They don't use it. We don't need illegal defense.
I would get rid of illegal defense.
Five fouls, Andy, is too soon to send people to the free throw line. Make it 10. Nobody wants to sit here and watch free throws. Stopping the game is bad. This is what baseball realized, and they made all those rule changes. They said, we're going to generate more base runners. We're going to keep the ball in the park. What people want is action on the bases. What NBA fans is not more people shooting free throws. It's not sitting around for 20 minutes with the game on the line.
Free throws, though, have been around forever. Like, I don't think free throws are a problem in the game.
Yeah, it has been recently, because now they were calling it too often, too frequently. You have 17 free throws shot in the first quarter.
Actually, I think free throws have gone down over the
years. They did. Michael, when do you think they did? All-Star break? They did something this year to lower the free throws.
No. I mean, I think free throws, not just this season. I think free throws have gone down over the years. I don't actually think we're shooting more free throws now than then.
I just wonder what this competition committee is doing. Every time they add a rule or every time they add a feature, it just stops the game and slows everything down.
Again, if you put a limit, because you already have a limit on how many times you can challenge, like, you know, if you just put a limit on how long the referees can review, then that'll solve a lot of this. It's 45 seconds, it's 60 seconds, it's 30 seconds, whatever. You have to have an answer.
And the tragedy about all these reviews is it's really affected LeBron. Because instead of LeBron having 40,158 points, he only has 40,154 points.
Right.
He took away his three the other day, and the three he shot in Minnesota was more of a two instead of a three.
Right.
So that's 4 points he lost right there.
You know what's interesting about that, though? If you heard LeBron after the game, like, he said he thought that his heel was in bounds, but he was not livid, though, like he was in Minnesota. Like, it felt like LeBron was like, okay, maybe I was out of bounds. I don't think I was, but maybe. Like, where's Minnesota? Mm-hmm. He was like, what the F, man?
Yeah, he was behind the line in Minnesota.
He was correct. He was behind the line in Minnesota.
It just, to me, it's such a great game, and it was such a fun night, and they just ruined it with all of their bureaucratic crap.
Yeah.
And the refs have got to be better. Well, they've got to be smarter. You cannot have a 22-minute delay for no reason.
What I don't understand about the replays, Kamenetsky, Brian or Andy, whichever one you are.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I don't understand why they take so long. Aren't there guys sitting in the monitor in Secaucus, New Jersey, watching? Well, what are they doing? Eating a pizza when the referee calls them?
Okay, now that's actually a good point. Like, rather than have the refs do this, because they also may be feeling like, well, we have to maintain our authority. We don't want to be constantly overruling ourselves. Have someone else overrule them.
Yeah, that's like, what I thought they did. That's
but Michael's right. What? By the time they get to the table, Andy, shouldn't somebody in New Jersey have already seen the play and said, hey, I saw it. Here's the call.
But yeah. That's why I wonder if maybe that's part of what was going on, is the refs were confused by what was happening. Like, they never thought, hey, LeBron's heel was out of bounds. Mm-hmm. Like, they were like, what are you talking about? Because Darvin afterwards didn't sound like he thought that they were related things, like my challenge led to the three being overruled.
I guess you're allowed to look back on those type of things, obviously.
Yeah, I think anything that stops the game unnecessarily or slows it down, again, I'm going to point this out. Michael played his entire career without replay. We were just fine.
Yeah, when referees miss calls, we committed fouls that weren't called sometimes. So it happens. That's part of the game. You got to live with it.
Right, and the games could be just so much smoother and so much more efficient.
Coaches' challenges, take those away too.
All right, God,
I hate those.
You know what sport doesn't have coaches' challenge?
What's that?
Pickleball.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
It's time for our first signature
event. Don't give me any ideas
of the year. Join us for 710 ESPN's Pickleball Madness Tournament Saturday at the Agape Pickleball Center at Miles Square Park in Fountain Valley, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Food, drink, games, fun zone, and March Madness. Plus, sign the biggest birthday card in the world for Steve Mason. Celebrate Mason and Ireland's 20th anniversary on ESPN LA. RSVP now for your seat. Go to ESPNLA.com and click the Pickleball Madness logo. Special thanks to Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru Subaru. And now, the love is electric.
Something happened 28 years ago today.
What sport?
Basketball. That I don't think either one of you are aware of. I'll tell you what it is when we come back. Andy Kamenetsky in for Mace. Michael's hanging out with us. Pepe is coming in later. Uh-oh. Pepe Montilla. Lakers-Hawks tonight at Crypto. With the loss over the weekend, now the Lakers have just no margin for error. They got to start winning. And we'll get into that too. Mason in Ireland. Andy in for Mace. ESPN LA.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Today it's Andy Kamenetsky and Ireland, and Michael Thompson's hanging out with us. Pepe Montilla will be along shortly. Lakers-Hawks tonight at Crypto, 7:30. Michael and I will have the call. Slee and Michael have the pregame show starting at 6, and the tip-off is at 7:30. And before you say, oh, Hawks, no Trae Young, easy win for the Lakers. Did you see what the Hawks did to the Clippers last night?
Yeah, what's going on with my Clippers?
Destroyed them. They've lost 4 out of 5, Michael. They're broken. They gotta get with it. All right, I mentioned something happened 28 years ago today.
Give us a hint.
Okay. NCAA tournament game. Texas Tech against North Carolina.
28 years ago, Texas Tech, North Carolina.
You know, one of you guys know?
96?
28 years.
Yep.
Talking about 86?
Craig, you know?
96. No, Texas Tech,
Brian
Carolina.
Knows because he put the clip in.
What year, 1986?
96.
96.
All right, here it is.
My teammates had a crazy hook shot, and they were ready to go back in transition, and Vince Carter had already leaked out. Yeah. And as he will tell you, he didn't box out. He didn't box out the ham, and that was the wrongest thing he could have done in that game.
Broke the backboard.
Yes, sir.
Freshman year in college.
That was a hell of a game.
I heard about that all year. Awesome.
So that was Antoine Jameson with Darvin Ham. Lakers coach Darvin Ham broke a backboard, broke the glass backboard.
He went to Texas Tech?
In an NCAA tournament game, yeah.
I thought he went to Pitt. I was thinking he was a Pitt, but maybe.
No, Darvin was from Michigan, but he ended up going to school in Texas, and he broke the backboard. And that was Jameson saying, I forgot to box him out.
You know, I was just listening to that. Darvin Ham describes everything as hell of a. Yeah. They got a hell of a team over there. That's a hell of a player over there. That's a hell of a game.
Okay, so it leads us to the subject of Darvin Ham. Again, Lakers-Hawks tonight at the arena. And Andy, you, for people who don't know, Andy and his brother Brian do the Locked On Lakers podcast, which is available how, Andy?
Well, it's 5 days a week anywhere you get your podcast, never behind a paywall. There's also, John, a YouTube component as well.
Beautiful. Okay, so you guys talk about Darvin probably at least once a show every day.
Oh, the fans want to hear our thoughts on Darvin.
So Michael and I admittedly are close to the situation. We know Darvin. We see how hard he's working. We're rooting for him. But I want you're a little more objective, Andy. And Michael, you can jump in too. Darvin is coming up on the end of his second year. A lot of fans who follow you guys, you and Brian, are calling for his head.
Yes, they are.
I'm not, obviously. I'm rooting for him. I want him to succeed. But weigh these two things. I know 10th guys, 10th place is unacceptable. You can't be the Laker coach and finish 10th. Normally, it's going to cost you your job. But since Phil Jackson left, okay, think about this. Mike Brown, 2 years. Mike D'Antoni, 2 years. Byron Scott, 2 years. Luke Walton, 2 years. Frank Vogel, 3 years. And now we're talking about Darvin, and he's only gone 2 years. At what point, Andy, do you weigh stability versus the fact that he's in 10th place?
Well, the fact that he is in 10th place to me isn't, I think, the biggest problem he has. The biggest problem he has is it's pretty clear the players don't want to play for him. Like, it's pretty clear
really?
The player. Yes.
You see that?
Yes.
What makes you say that?
Because the way they will, you know, Anthony Davis has openly questioned the defensive schemes. D'Angelo Russell has talked about disagreements with Darvin. Rui Hachimura has questioned his role before. You know, LeBron will talk about, yeah, we ran the schemes.
But like, Michael, isn't that common with most teams who are losing? That players are going to have problems with the coach?
I mean,
but this is a team above 500.
Yeah.
The problem isn't that they are 7 games below 500. It's last year they sounded more invested in Darvin than this year.
Let me preface all this by saying Darvin can still win his way out of this. They have 14 games left, and last year this is about the time they went on a run. But having said that, their defense has been terrible, and that's what they got to fix. Well, I think their defense is bottom five since the All-Star break.
Their defense has been atrocious since the All-Star break. But again, I think the problem for Darvin is about more than just the record. Like the idea of, you know, if say they get bounced in the first round or bounced in the second round, like what does that do for Darvin? To me, that's the wrong question. The question is, what is it going to take for LeBron and Anthony Davis and Austin Reeves, D'Lo, if he's still going to be around, Rui, if he's still going to be around, what is it going to take for them to be reinvested in Darvin? That, to me, is the actual question that needs to be asked.
Greg, do you think there is something to stability, that firing the coach every 2 to 3 years is just not a winning formula?
So, yes and no. I don't think it's a winning formula overall, but you'd have to have the right voice in the room. If you can't find that right voice, you have to continue to move off of that person and find the right
voice. Even if it's six straight guys with 2 years.
It's six straight guys with 2 years that just are not working. And by the way, if you look at those six straight guys, they're all basically first-time head coaches. Mike Brown wasn't, but he was
Mike D'Antoni, either was Byron Scott.
D'Antoni was a terrible hire right from the beginning. I was happy when he got fired.
Right, but I'm just saying that your point that they were all first-time head coaches is inaccurate. The first three guys were former NBA coach of the year. Half of them there are six. The first three were all former NBA head coaches.
The last three head coaches were not.
Right.
They're all first-time head coaches, and they're just not. They just are not fitting into the system.
I hate to be a stickler, but that's not true. Four of the six guys we're talking about were former NBA coaches of the year. Frank Vogel used to be a head coach.
Frank Vogel should be the anomaly out of all of this. They should have never fired Frank Vogel. He was the best coach out of every single one of them and had the best defensive scheme out of all of them.
Not really, because look how they struggled in Phoenix.
No. With the Lakers, he had the second best defensive team in the league at the time.
What happened to that defense in Phoenix? Cam Listen just scored 30 on them.
What's happening in Phoenix is not what how he was doing in Los Angeles.
And
that team was built to win. They fired him, brought in Russell Westbrook, and got rid of KCP and all those guys and Kyle Kuzma, and it changed everything. So losing Vogel was a massive mistake.
Okay, this is the problem I think the Lakers have, because, John, you are correct. The coaching carousel is a problem for this team. I think it affects...
But it sounds like, in your opinion, it's not as big of a problem as not changing it.
Well, look, they may... If they want to have their players believe in their coach, I think they may have to move on from Darvin. The larger problem is, I don't think the organization knows what they want in a coach, in part because, very large part, I don't think they think the coach is that important.
What?
Well,
I agree with that.
What, the Lakers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Michael,
you don't think Pat Riley and Phil Jackson was important?
Been a long time.
About the Lakers organization?
You're going back 20 years.
You're going back like 30 or 40 years and not the same people running the organization.
Well,
yeah,
I
was there.
Well, hold on.
She was in high school.
But to
Michael's point, though,
learning from Dr. Buss.
To Michael's point, though, Andy, if you switch out Darvin again, and again, I know I'm on an island, but I really want Darvin to succeed.
I want Darvin to succeed.
But I'm just saying, I don't want him to get fired. I think most other a lot of Laker fans, a lot of guys you deal with, are like begging for it. You have to. Greg, what do I always say whenever we talk about firing
somebody?
Somebody
else ready. Yeah. Who do you
and
want?
I don't know who that would
Here's the thing, though. Like, they had the opportunity to bring in Ty Lue, who would have made perfect sense, who LeBron wanted, would have made LeBron happy.
Yeah, that's really worked out for the Clippers, ain't it?
It is. It's worked out for the Clippers.
Yeah. Have you seen them lately?
Well, lately,
they got a
sure,
hole
but
in
I mean,
their hull.
Look,
the size of the Titanic.
They're
and I like
the
Clippers.
West.
I like Paul George and Kawhi.
But he is a really good coach, and he's one that I think would have maintained buy-in. If you look at all the different coaches that they've hired since Phil, there's like nothing in common
How
with
does
any
a coach
of
led a team like the Clippers get a 21-point collapse to the Lakers?
Phil Jackson,
LeBron's made 20 shots in a row. I think we better go over there and double-team
Phil
him.
Phil Jackson had bad losses. Are you saying
when?
You guys?
Name one.
I covered the team for like 10 years. They had bad losses.
I can't remember none.
Are you saying Showtime, you guys never had a bad loss?
In 10 years, maybe one.
Okay. Well, that day, Riley was off his game.
Yeah. It to me, I think it's a legitimate discussion weighing, do we keep changing the coach every 2 to 3 years versus is it worse to keep the guy if he finishes 10th?
Or option three, hire the right coach.
But who is that?
I don't know, but it shouldn't be this hard.
A recycle one?
It should not be this hard to land on your coach. Since 2011, they've had how many cracks at this?
Six.
They keep messing up. And, you know, they keep bringing in guys, I think, for the wrong reasons.
Darvin's fine. The guy's got to go out there and play better. How about that?
Well, they do have
the players.
They
well,
do
to
have
Michael's
to
point,
better.
Andy, it is at some point you got to say, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the coaches after a game and I've gone, I'm like, why did you not foul at the end of the game when you were up three? You gave them a three-pointer and it sent the game to overtime. What are you guys thinking? And they'll look at me and go, John, do you really think we told him not to foul?
Look, I'm not.
So the players have to listen.
I'm not putting it all on Darvin. Ultimately, the players are out there. They're the ones who have the most control of the game. I'm just saying it's been pretty clear to me that these guys are not responding to Darvin the way they did last year. And I don't know if it can be fixed.
Well, we're going to find out. We got 14 games left and we'll see. If they stay in 10th, it's going to be an incredibly hard road. Michael, who do the Warriors play tonight?
They host New York.
And they're – oh, and Anunoby's not playing.
No, he's out. Yeah. Randall's out.
Yeah, so no Anunoby, no Randall. That's going to be a hard game for the Knicks to win. But if the Knicks would upset the Warriors, the Lakers could move back into ninth. We'll see. All right, reminder, the madness is here, and be sure to spend the first official day of the tourney with the whole crew at 710 ESPN this Thursday. It's an all-day live broadcast at the Islands Restaurant in Manhattan Beach, 3200 North Sepulveda Boulevard, inside Manhattan Village. I literally was there yesterday. It starts at 10 a.m. with the Travis and Sliwa show, then Mason and I, then Sedano and Cap until 7. Come out, watch all the hoops, and have a chance to win great prizes. 7:10 hits the South Bay Thursday. Thanks to Islands Restaurant, your local paradise. We'll spin the wheel of questions next, ESPN LA.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices?
And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Okay, this has to do with Sammy Sosa, the former Cubs slugger, who is known for being in the steroid era. He hit 60-plus home runs a couple of times. And so he was doing an interview last week, and I'll play the interview, then I'll ask you guys something about it. Here it is.
Is it time for you and Tom Rickus to sit down to get back into their good graces?
Well, like I say, you know, I'm a mature man. I think that it's a possibility that we can do that. I'm open. I don't have a problem with that. I have, like I said, I have a lot of misunderstanding in the past, but now I'm a real man. I feel great, so I recognize my mistake. So hey, why not?
Are you telling me that you recognize the fact that maybe you did do steroids?
this is like I say, this is not a question that I expected from you.
Okay, so he was flustered, to say the least, by the steroids question. Greg, can you, if you're the reporter, do an interview with Sammy Sosa and not ask him about that?
I mean, I think that seemed like a gotcha moment for me. So I didn't really like it in that sense because I think he was actually trying to get him to say something, which is his job. Granted, I didn't like it there.
It wasn't a gotcha, though. Andy? It wasn't a gotcha because Sosa actually opened the door when he mentioned his mistakes. Like, really, the reporter's next question should have been, what type of mistakes are you referring to?
That's okay. And then,
like,
you can
Sosa's the one who
it.
Really opened the door here, because if it's not steroids, what other mistakes are you referring to?
Michael, you often say we soft-pedal interviews around here. You say we don't ask the tough questions. If you were interviewing Sammy Sosa, would you ask him about steroids?
Oh, yeah, once he said mistakes, I would have definitely asked, have you used steroids, yes or no? It's a yes or no question.
And then
he
would have gone, Bob,
that tells me right there that you did.
I think Sosa is known for that more than anything else at this point, right?
I mean,
if you mentioned, if we were playing Password, Andy, and I said, Sosa, don't you say steroids?
Steroids, or, you know, the, how do I put this, the changing complexion?
Yeah, oh, that's right.
Light skin?
Yeah, yes, he has very light skin
now,
that, much lighter than when
either
he...
Either the complexion or the steroids. That's the thing that Sosa's talked about the most.
Did he change his skin on purpose, or do you have that, what do you call it, vitiligo?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that, but he is much lighter than he was when he played.
I would say those are the two things at this point Sosa's most known for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Michael Jackson complexion and steroids.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem that I don't think you can do that interview and not ask Sammy Sosa a question about steroids. It doesn't make any sense. Okay, so Michael, I wanted to ask you about this. Isaiah Thomas, who you played against, was on Draymond Green's podcast this week. And he says he had no idea that Michael Jordan hated him until The Last Dance came out.
What?
Listen to this.
Michael Jordan's last All-Star game, I coached his last All-Star game. Vince Carter had won the starting spot. I took Vince Carter aside and I convinced him to give his spot to Michael Jordan. I never knew this dude felt the way he felt until The Last Dance.
Wow, really?
I'm like, all these years, you've been standing behind a tree throwing stones and letting somebody else take the fall for it. Had I known you felt that way, I definitely would have treated you differently. Hey, I only know how people are with me when they treat me. Now, some people will say, well, why didn't you shake his hand? The champions, they always left the court. And then they would come into your locker room after the game and shake your hand and say congratulations. That's how it goes. Chicago, they're the only champion that still cries about somebody not shaking their hand.
All right, so a lot to unpack there. First of all, Michael, let me ask you about that last part first. You guys won the title in 87. You won it again in 88. When the Pistons knocked you guys out in 89, did you shake hands on the court with them, or did you wait and go back in the locker room, or did you not ever shake hands with
them?
That
was not the problem, that they didn't shake hands on the court. The problem was they left with 2 minutes to go, and they walked out as the game was still in progress. Obviously, the Bulls were on the sidelines. The championship had been decided. It was garbage time, and he led a protest or a walkout, and that's what people remember, and that's what people criticized him for. Not the fact, because you're right, we didn't shake hands when we lost to the Pistons. We went back in our locker room. We didn't stay on the court and exchange pleasantries and hugs and all that stuff. We didn't do that back in the 80s and 90s like they do now. The game is more touchy-feely, tickly, giggly type of things. Now everybody's buddy-buddy, everybody play together with AAU, everybody shares the same agents, so they're much more friendly and much more sentimental about that kind of garbage now.
We got a line of podcast guests, Michael.
Yeah, exactly. But back then, no, we didn't shake hands on the court. We'd do it in the privacy of the hallway, so if you saw him backstage. But the fact that they walked out while the game was in progress is why they got criticized.
So he's changing the story. But here's, Andy, the thing that surprises me. The 1992 Dream Team, Isaiah was arguably the best guard in the league, along with Jordan. They were both 1-2.
Yeah.
The reason Isaiah wasn't on that team is because Jordan said, if he's on the team, I'm not coming.
Right.
So how in the world would Isaiah not know, and how does he expect us to buy this?
Okay, maybe. I want to emphasize maybe, because Isaiah Thomas is frankly a notorious liar, so he may very well have been lying here. Maybe what he meant was, I did not realize until The Last Dance just the depths of how much this guy hated me and how many different reasons this guy hated me and how long this grudge has been running white hot until The Last Dance. That being said, these two guys are so perfect for each other because neither one of them will ever let go of a slight. Like, remember that scene in The Dark Knight where Batman and the Joker are in the interrogation room and Joker says, I don't want to kill you. What would I do without you?
Right.
That's Jordan and Isaiah. Like, they neither one of them want this feud to end.
Yeah, because it keeps them in the headlines.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, like, this thing is 40 years old at this point. If either one of them had the slightest interest in ending it, they would end it by now. Yeah, they don't want to.
Even Frazier and Ali made up at the end.
Yeah, Magic and Bird made up.
Well, they didn't hate each other. They respected each other. They wanted to whoop each other. But Frazier really hated Muhammad Ali.
Yes.
And even he shook his hand in the end.
Ali was cruel to Frazier. He really was.
So, Michael,
Ali didn't hate him. He just wanted to hype the fights.
You were on the team when Magic and Isaah kissed each other on the cheek.
Right, they're they're buddy-buddy.
Because they grew up, you know, knew each other from growing up. Did you have an issue with that as one of Magic's teammates, that he was kissing a guy on the other team?
No, because I knew they wanted to kill each other, you know.
Yeah, right after that, he hit him in the head.
Right, once they competed against each other, we didn't worry or question their competitiveness once they did. That was just that little thing they had, and we didn't care.
I mean, Jordan used to play golf during the playoffs against opponents in the playoffs. Like, you know, the whole... Back then, they were never buddy-buddy. That's very embellished. I mean, there's a lot of revisionist history to that, because the guy they always use as an example is Jordan, and he was, again, literally out gambling and playing golf with all of his opponents.
Well, not all of them. Sometimes he would try to use that to soften them up.
Well,
right.
You know, mind games.
Right, and what did Dominique Wilkins say that when teams came to Atlanta, he would tenderize them, taking them out to the clubs. And then he knew all the girls in town, and the girls would keep him out until 4 in the morning. And
then,
we're playing Atlanta tonight. Lakers-Hawks tonight at Crypto. All right, coming up next, 2 o'clock call of the day, 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. You can ask us about anything. You can ask us the 22-minute delay, about the Lakers, about Darvin, about Isaiah, about the Dodgers, anything you want to talk about. 2 o'clock call of the day next, ESPN LA.